Good morning. So as she said, I'm speaking about variation in state, variation by state, and use of VA services by Medicaid-enrolled veterans. And I have no relationships to disclose. Before I get started, I want to acknowledge my co-authors and the funding that we received to do this research. So as you may know, Medicaid provides health care coverage for some low-income individuals, including pregnant women, parents of young children, people with disabilities, and the elderly. Medicaid is funded jointly by state and federal governments, and this means that eligibility criteria and benefits will vary by state. Veterans who meet their state's eligibility criteria may enroll in their state's Medicaid program, regardless of whether or not they're also eligible for care through the VA. There's been extensive research on geographic variation in healthcare. Many studies have found regional variation in use of Medicare services, even though Medicare is a federal program with a single set of eligibility rules and benefits across the country. Given that Medicaid eligibility criteria and benefits vary by state, it's no surprise that previous research has found that there's even more variation in Medicaid use than what's found in Medicare, even after adjusting for population differences in states. A recent study on geographic variation in healthcare use among VA patients found similar patterns to those in what was found in Medicare patients. Most studies of geographic variation has focused on entire populations of patients. We found no prior research on our population of interest, which was Medicaid-enrolled veterans. So the objective of this study was to first describe veterans who are dually enrolled in the VA and Medicaid, and then to examine the relationship between the state of residence and the use of VA outpatient services among these dual enrollees. Our analysis was done with data prior to Medicaid expansion in 2014 as part of the Affordable Care Act. We felt it was important to know what was going on at the state level since the Medicaid program is different in each state, and these differences will grow as some states expanded Medicaid in 2014. We used a retrospective study design, and our cohort was defined as veterans age 18 to 64 who were enrolled in VA and Medicaid at least 2 consecutive months during 2009. We created our cohort using the Veterans Health Administration enrollment file and the Medicaid person summary file. We excluded anyone who was missing demographics, who was missing their enrollment data, either their VA or Medicaid enrollment data, those who had end-stage renal disease, or those who had Medicaid eligibility gaps. So if you were enrolled in Medicaid for a few months and then you were off Medicaid and you're back on Medicaid, we excluded those people. Our final cohort had about 212,000 individuals. Our dependent variable was healthcare and VA facilities, as found in the VA's outpatient event file. In this study, we did not include any care paid for by the VA, but provided in the community. We measured both unique days of care and unique events. Care in the VA is a little different than care in the community because a person will often have multiple events in the same day. But this is less likely in the VA. There's more likely to have multiple events. So in our multivariable analysis, we chose to focus on events instead of days. We excluded services in the outpatient file that were concurrent with a stay in a hospital or a long-term care facility. And we also excluded services that we didn't consider were traditional outpatient care. The main covariates we examined were demographics, including sex, age, and race, the veterans' reason for their Medicaid and VA eligibility, whether they were also enrolled in Medicare, and geographic characteristics, including distance to the nearest VA outpatient facility, whether the zip code of their residence was rural or urban, and of course their state of residence. We calculated descriptive frequencies to characterize the cohort, and then we used a multivariable regression model to examine the effect of our covariates on VA outpatient use in the months the patients were dually enrolled. The relationship was examined using a population averaged generalized estimating equation negative binomial regression model with autoregressive correlation structure order 1. We used the modeling estimates to produce incident rate ratios and to predict the number of annual events for each of the covariates. So first, here's some descriptive statistics. Our cohort was mostly male and was racially diverse, and about 80% of the veterans in our cohort were over age 45. VA eligibility was measured using the VHA priority group. The highest priority groups are those that are disabled as defined by the VA, which may be different than those who are disabled as defined by Medicaid. About a third of the cohort was disabled according to the VA, and in contrast, about two-thirds were enrolled in Medicaid due to disability. About a third also had Medicare coverage, and so for this population under 65, the Medicare eligibility would be due to disability. And about half lived in an urban area. We measured distance from the veteran's home to the nearest VA outpatient facility. Most people lived relatively close, with about 60% living within 10 miles, and only about 3% living more than 40 miles. And lastly, we looked at the veteran's state. About 10% of our cohort lived in California, 8% were in New York, and several states, as shown here, were home to 4 to 5% of the veterans, and all the other states were less than 4% of the veterans in our cohort. We found that two-thirds of our cohort had at least some VA outpatient use during 2009, and the average amount of annual use was 9 unique days of care and 14.5 events. We used the regression model to calculate the predicted number of annual events for each of our main covariates, and I want to point out a few of the results. The highest number of predicted events varied by age and was lowest in the veterans 18 to 34, was highest in the veterans age 45 to 54. Those that were considered disabled by the VA, groups 1, 2, 3, and 4, had the highest number of predicted events, while those who did not have a disability and did not have a low income as defined by the VA had the lowest number of predicted events. And disability, Medicaid eligibility due to disability had a similar effect, but it wasn't as strong as the VA disability. And when we looked at distance, we see a clear inverse relationship that those who were the closest to the VA had 16 predicted events, and those that were the furthest had less than 10 predicted events. And finally, we looked at the number of predicted events by state. This map highlights the five states with the lowest number of predicted events. Those are shown in dark green, and the five states with the highest number of predicted events, and those are in dark blue. Unlike with distance, like we saw in the last slide, there's no obvious pattern in regards to which states have the highest or lowest number of predicted events. We even see adjacent states like North and South Dakota, which are similar in many ways, with very different number of predicted events. The data in our model didn't allow us to speculate why some states have a higher number of predicted events than others. However, one thing we wanted to look at was how the number of predicted events related to the states that chose to expand Medicaid in 2014. So this map is the same as the prior map, except now we're also differentiating between those states that expanded, and those are the ones that have the grid on it, and those that didn't expand. Of the dark green states with the lowest number of predicted events, all of the states were expanding except Maine. And in contrast, of the dark blue states with the highest number of predicted events, only the District of Columbia is expanding. So in summary, we saw that about two-thirds of veterans duly enrolled in VA and Medicaid used VA outpatient care in 2009. After controlling for other factors, we found an inverse relationship between distance to VA outpatient centers and the number of predicted events. And as other studies have found in the overall Medicaid and VA populations, we also saw wide variation in VA utilization by state in our cohort of dual enrollees. And this variation ranged from 9.2 events on the low end and 21.5 events on the high end. And we saw that among states with the lowest number of events, 4 out of 5 expanded Medicaid, and among states with the highest number of VA events, only 1 out of 5 expanded Medicaid. One of the big limitations of the study is that we're not looking at the veterans' total healthcare utilization. We're only looking at utilization provided by the VA. So even though all these people were dually enrolled in Medicaid, we didn't include Medicaid utilization because many states provide services through managed care. And so the data that we have available is not, it doesn't include all the details of all their encounters. We also didn't include any other health care coverage like Medicare, private insurance, or any other payers. A second limitation is that we didn't account for characteristics of the state's Medicaid plan, such as eligibility criteria or the benefits that it offered. So in conclusion, this research shows that the VA continues to offer a safety net for veterans, even with other healthcare options such as Medicaid. And additional research is needed to understand the relationship between VA use and the state-specific Medicaid eligibility rules and benefits, since this could impact the demand for VA healthcare services, both in quantity and type of care from the VA facilities in the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you have any questions, let's first either for Melissa Levin or Kristen DeGroot, veterans with schizophrenia, veterans core versus other core system and utilization of healthcare services among veterans enrolled in the Medicaid program. Any questions? That is a very tough question. Why that is that we have such a complex healthcare system in the U.S.? It seems to me that could be a terrific panel for next year in Denver. It's never too early to start thinking about it, so it just helped me to put forward a couple of good presentations next year. So I agree, the research oftentimes informs the health policy, providing the evidence, and it comes to the policy recommendations to make suggestions in terms of how to improve the coordination and reduce the complexities of the delivery of healthcare.